Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story Is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
You bet. You bet. Painful, painful reality. Getting hit in the face constantly.
We're taking a pummeling to get to that reality.
That's right. Rocky. Oh, I forgot to check what episode. Oh, I think it's 171. This is 171.
It is.
Yes. And we're going to talk about Rocky, the original one from 1976. Not the 12th one, which was, I don't know where they're at.
Nope.
Yeah. There's lots of sequels.
Yep.
But,
I tried one sequel and decided I just needed the first one.
Yeah. And the first one, it is something else.
It really is.
Yeah. So
I saw this at the movies when it came out. So in what, 1976?
Yeah. I doubt that I did. I was 8.
I was a college freshman, so that can't be right. Oh crap, no. It is.
1976.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, and I had not seen it since then.
Oh.
Until maybe a year ago when I rewatched it with Rose. And I was stunned at how well it held up.
That's great. That's great. And for me, when I was picking it, you know, I was just kind of in a sportsy mood, having watched baseball and stuff. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
what's a good sports movie? And I started floating around and looking at the ones I'd seen. And then I thought of this one. And it was serendipitous because, you know, there's Thanksgiving in there and we're in the Thanksgiving season. And but yeah, it definitely held right up. I was so impressed with this movie again. Just loved it.
Well, and it's funny because you think of it as being really dated just because it's older.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It is not. Yeah. It really isn't.
I mean, there are a few things where you just look at, you know, a style or something or a bit of the music, how it's done. But it's really one of those timeless stories. And I know I was looking at Roger Ebert's review. He gave it 4 stars. And he just said he felt like it was a successor to On the Waterfront, which made sense to me. And he also was saying that it doesn't try to be more than it is. It is about heroism, living up to potential, sticking by your girl. And he said, it's corny, but we like it because it's all true, you know.
Yeah.
And it's... And I was like, yeah, and sometimes we just need things to tell us what's true. We thrill to that because we recognize it. And it's like hearing a story over and over. You see new things in it every time.
Yeah, yeah. I highlighted that in Roger Ebert's review, too. Yeah, what makes the movie extraordinary, he says, is that it doesn't try to surprise us with an original plot with twists and complications.
Right.
It wants to involve us on an elemental, a sometimes savage level. And then it's about heroism and realizing your potential, about taking your best shot and sticking by your girl, like you said. It sounds not only cliched but corny, and yet it's not a bit, because it really does work on those levels. It involves us emotionally, it makes us commit ourselves, and we find, maybe to our surprise after remaining detached during so many movies, that this time we care. Oh, I love Roger. Yeah. Saint Ebert.
Yeah, oh boy. So good. Even when I agree with him, I loved
Ray miss him.
Write it, and I agree with him on this. So.
Yeah, yeah. But he's right, you know, and it is a very simple story, and Rocky is a very simple character, but it just rings so true. And you know, there were many times where they could have gone off a different direction that you know, here I am. How many years later, you know, thinking, you know, if this was a movie made today, they would have done this maybe, you know,
Or
they would have run off into the bushes, you know, on this or that. But no, I mean, Stallone, Rocky continued to surprise, probably because they didn't take those roads.
Yeah. They weren't worried about commenting on anything except Rocky's journey.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right.
And therefore, all the characters were allowed to be who they were instead of having to stand in for this or that, which these days everybody kind of leans heavily on that kind of thing, I think.
Right, right.
Do we need to give a summary?
Yeah, we sure can. Before we get to that, it was written by Sylvester Stallone himself, which is cool, and directed by John G. Avildsen. And it won Oscar for Best Picture in 1977.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember I thought he wrote, starred, and directed. And so I was looking because the direction seemed surprisingly good to me. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up and said, oh, that's why. And I'd never heard of this guy before.
Yeah, yeah, and I looked him up. There's he did the Karate Kids,
right?
You know, so it's just kind of a style that he's got, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't recognize most of the movies he had done, but
right,
you know, Lean on Me, three Karate Kid movies. He did Rocky, and then he didn't do another one until Rocky V.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the latest one he did was called A Fine and Private Place. The one before that, 8 Seconds, which was popular. And he passed away just this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did. And then Stallone directed Rocky II. So he wrote and directed Rocky II. And I looked up, you know, how many things he's written, and I was surprised at how many things there were here. He does that quite a bit.
He's always in there trying.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think his best shot was his first shot.
Yeah, yeah. A handful of Rocky movies, a handful of Rambo movies, a handful of Expendables movies, and now he's doing Creed, which I haven't seen, I don't believe. Creed, which is a descendant, you know, it is a Rocky movie, right? Rocky's in it, but...
Yeah, he's coaching Apollo Creed's son or grandson or something like that. Yeah. And it's supposed to be good, but I just was like, no, thank you.
And luckily they're working on Creed 2 right now.
Oh, thank goodness. What would we do without one of these in production?
That's right. So, yeah. So back to, you know, what it's about. So it's about Rocky Balboa, who is a fighter in Philadelphia, just fighting, you know, local people at local venues, you know. One of the opening scenes has him fighting a really difficult fight, and he gets $40 for it. Yeah. Bummer. Yeah. So yeah. He's just scraping by. He works for a loan shark, but he's too kind to follow through. It's like, you know, the loan shark wants him to break someone's thumbs for, I can't remember how much money, $200 or $100 or something like that. And but Rocky didn't follow through with the bone breaking part, but he did threaten, you know. He did his best. And
like he could, but he's just gonna give the guy a lot of chances.
Absolutely. Yeah, and early on, you know, you get the feeling, I mean, he punches really, really hard. You know, in fact they state that. So that's something that he's got going for him. And anyway, it's just about, you know, his life at this point. You know, he's a very simple guy, lives alone in a pretty terrible little place, has some friends that are also, you know, struggling to get by, and he's in love with a very shy person that works at a pet store, and he's always showing up at this pet store. And she's also the sister of one of his good friends.
Right.
Yeah. And one thing leads to another. So then you get to Apollo Creed. And Apollo Creed is the heavyweight champion of the world. Extremely rich guy. And he's got a big fight scheduled in Philadelphia for New Year's Eve 1976. And this is the birth of the country. And it's a really big thing. And then the guy he was going to fight breaks his hand during training. And can't fight anymore. So they're looking for another opponent, and they start to go through the list of the top contenders, and they're all fighting other fights, or they're out of shape, or, you know, they can't get ready within the 6 weeks that they have. So Apollo Creed himself comes up with the idea, why don't I fight a nobody and give them a shot? And that's the American dream, you know. We'll be just, you know, showing the American dream. So, he goes through a book of local fighters in Philadelphia, and he finds the Italian Stallion. And he loves the contrast. You know, a black man fighting the Italian Stallion, you know, hasn't America come such a long way This is great. It's going to make us so much money. It's embarrassing. So, they do that. So they send someone over to Rocky's place and you know, where he trains, and leaves a little note. You know, since we don't have phones there,
right?
So, and he says, you know, so he gets this offer, and it was for $150,000, I believe. You get to fight the heavyweight champion of the world. And we'll talk about some of the details, you know, because Rocky's very hesitant. But he ends up taking it. And that's what the movie's about. So it culminates in the fight at the end of the movie between these two.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, that's the movie. But, you know, it's all in the details, right? You know, when you, that's one of the things about this, you know, you describe that and you're like, well, you know, haven't we seen that a million times before? Well, kind of, yeah. You know, kind of, yeah. And the chances of the heavyweight champion of the world fighting a nobody is, you know, slim. You know, is that even believable? You know, but it's all in the details. It's all, you know, for me, it's the character of Rocky himself that kept surprising me.
Well, and the unrealism of this idea of a world heavyweight champion picking the Italian Stallion out of a local bunch of boxers. In a way, when you look at the end of the movie, and we're going to jump ahead to spoilers, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. When you look at the end of the movie, where Apollo Creed is coming into the boxing ring, and he's got his outfit, and it's all shiny and spangly, and the girls dressed like the Statue of Liberty, and all these this show around him, it's like it's a precursor of the WWF.
Yeah.
Right? You're so right. Mm-hmm. That's the atmosphere it's surrounded in, and it's funny that when we say it's not dated, I looked at that and I had this flashback because people did do stuff like that back then. Every so often, you know, and you'd have these boxing matches between like Joe Frazier, but Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was always showy, always talking, always, you know, mouthy.
Yeah, he was.
And getting attention and everything like this. And so, but he was a great boxer. So there was always some kind of spectacle at that time around a lot of these boxing things. Not probably to that degree, but...
Yeah, I wonder if Apollo Creed was based on Ali.
In some... He was based on a couple of different people, and one of them was Ali.
Yeah, because he was a talker.
Oh, yeah.
Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was also a greedy guy.
Well, it's interesting because... One of the things I liked about watching this again is seeing that the contrast in Rocky, and see these days, you know, Apollo Creed mentions race, you know, black man fighting an Italian, but race doesn't really get mentioned ever. Rocky's in awe of him because he's the heavyweight champion. You know, he's got talent. He got there legitimately. And what we see is he's forgotten his roots. When we're watching Rocky get ready and Rocky go through his life and even his training montage, we're seeing the streets he lives in. Mm-hmm. You know, he's having to run through some pretty rundown places to get to the famous running up the steps scene that we all know. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows him. Hey, Rocky, did you win last night? He's part of this little neighborhood. Apollo Creed, we only see him with his manager, with his trainer, with his entourage.
Yeah.
He's signing things. He's on the phone. Send the mayor's wife 1,000 roses. This kind of thing. And the one time when he gets a chance to maybe see his opponent is one of his, I don't know if it's a trainer or an entourage, who's like watching a news story where they're showing Rocky, you know, hitting sides of beef.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really getting into it. And the guy's like, whoa, hey, you want to watch this? Because this guy's not kidding around here. And he's like, yeah. Neither am I.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that Apollo Creed was not taking it seriously. It didn't even occur to him that he could lose.
No, and so when he gets knocked down in that first round, it's, you know, it's very satisfying on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
But it was interesting watching him suddenly snap into it.
It was.
He suddenly had to come up with his own fight. And you could suddenly see Sylvester Stallone choreographed the fighting.
Oh, really? Hmm.
Yeah, and it was really interesting when you watch, just to somebody like me who knows nothing, you could see the difference between the two. Apollo Creed was faster. He was, you know, clipped. He had a command that Rocky didn't have.
Yeah.
You suddenly could see his quality.
Right, and Rocky just had sheer power.
Right.
And when he had the opening and he let her rip, it was just took his breath away. The champion. Yeah.
Yeah. But so you see that contrast the whole time is this is not they don't understand each other's worlds and they don't really need to or care to.
Hmm.
And we're there to watch Rocky. But I just loved this contrast between him and the other guy who doesn't matter to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to matter to him.
And you know, even to the end of that fight, what was on this Apollo Creed's mind, you know, the moment that the final bell, rang, he was like, "You're not fighting me again." money was on Apollo Creed's mind. It's like, you know, I know what everybody's going to say, and I know I'm not going to make you rich. You know, all these things, you know, it's just so full of meaning.
That's interesting. I did not take it that way at all. He said no rematch, I thought he meant didn't know if he could make it again. He didn't want to fight this guy again.
No, maybe you're giving him more credit than me. For me, he was saying, I'm not going to, you know, everybody in the world's going to want this number two fight, which is actually what Rocky II is about. But it's, it's just like, you know, that's so true to life because, in the boxing world, you know, when you have, you know, like Mayweather fight somebody, if it's a really good fight, you know, what they want is number two. And you have this incredible pressure to do that. So to me, it was like what Apollo Creed was saying, I am still much better than you. And getting this. You're not getting another chance.
I did not take that at all.
That's what I had.
Because the fact that they were standing there kind of hanging on each other, the fact that he was going, his trainer was going, I'm going to throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I can do this. Because I took it as, because Rocky wouldn't quit, he was determined to go the distance, it stripped Apollo Creed back to the person he used to be.
Hmm.
It stripped him back to the original athlete who had to fight and with everything he had to get to where he'd been originally. And so he was like, I'm not doing this again. I've proven myself against you enough. But it wasn't because I'm so much better, because he wasn't so much better. With 6 weeks of training, Rocky went the distance of 15 rounds.
Yeah. I agree with you. But I took it differently.
No, I totally, see your point. But in watching the emotional part of the movie, because I think also we kind of skipped ahead of a lot of stuff, but the telling thing about this movie too, in fact, what it shows us again about Apollo Creed is they're waiting for them to announce a winner. And I'm like, oh, right. There's never just a draw in boxing, though it was a draw. You know, nobody was knocked out. So the judges announce, they're waiting for it. Apollo Creed gets announced as the winner. He's going wild with joy, right?
Mm.
Rocky doesn't even register it. He has done what he needs to do. Once that's done and he's proven himself that way, he just wants Adrian.
Right.
Where's Adrian?
Mm-hmm.
And so the interesting thing is the movie's focus is not on who won. Rocky's already won, and we know it. That's in the background.
Yeah, it's barely going on, and isn't that something? Yeah. That was one of those things that was just a really great. Yeah, it was a great decision.
Yeah.
To have had Rocky win, you know, would have been not as good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and he got what he wanted, and it kind of brings me. Maybe we're jumping ahead again, but Rocky in being a hero. In being the humble guy who knows who he is, but who doesn't want to be a bum. Boxing is his way to prove that he ain't no bum, because everybody's always told him he's stupid.
Yeah.
They're making fun of him on the news when he's in the press release or in the press situation before the fight. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, no, that didn't bother me. And he tells Adrian later, yeah, it did bother me. I knew I was being made fun of. And he wants to show in the only way he's got that he is a person, he is someone. And in doing that, because he tries to his utmost, he becomes heroic. And in being that hero, he's bringing all the people around him onto a higher level as they see and react to it. So Apollo Creed has to become the fighter that he hasn't had to be for a while. Mm-hmm. He has to shed all that other stuff, the money and everything, and really get down to who he is.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. I took it differently. You know, to me, when he was knocked down the first time, that was really cool. And what I felt from Apollo Creed was, I am just about to lose everything. And his fight or flight was like, I am, so at the end, you know, when he's saying don't throw in the towel, to me, that wasn't this athlete saying, you know, I can totally do this. It was him completely afraid that he was going to lose everything.
Oh, that isn't that funny?
Yeah, and then when he was saying there's no rematch, to me, that was the closure on that. It's like, I'm not giving you another chance because I almost just lost everything. And to me, it was all his stuff is what I think that he was fighting for. That's I didn't get any other kind of impression. And when, now I need to probably watch this again, but I felt like, you know, at the end when they were kind of hanging on each other and stuff, mm-hmm. I felt like that Apollo was kind of trying to push him away a little bit.
I don't remember.
That's the body language that I felt anyway. Okay. And you know, but he was exhausted and really couldn't. And Rocky was the one that was hanging on.
Well, the other thing too is it's not that he might not have felt all those things that you're saying, mm-hmm. but at that point, I think the shock of being knocked down by this nobody kind of, it brought him to his senses. It was his wake up call. So then he's like, okay, well now I'm going to go in and I'm going to just fight for real. This isn't working. Hmm. What the hell? And so I think with each successive round, he was having, at some point you forget about all that other stuff because it's like, hey, I am the heavyweight champion of the world. I earned this. Who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that makes you look at yourself. How are you going to step up and prove who you are? And that right, I think right. that's why I was taking that from it, as he's going, I should be able to bring this guy down. I have fought my way here through all these things. And so I felt like, yeah, by the time they're saying he's won, that's good. He needs that for his reputation and his own pride and his money and everything else. But I felt like in the fight, by the time they get to that 15th round, it is just a primal thing. Who are these two people as they battle?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that there's the two takes on it. So that's good because it leaves the movie open to speak to us on a lot of levels.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So one of the things I wanted to say in terms of the direction, too, is, you know, that idea of how the shot was done where Apollo Creed's almost in the background. Mm-hmm. And we hear that he won. And you're kind of thinking, well, that's not fair. Later, I thought about it and went, well, yeah, he had the technique and all this stuff. But it doesn't even matter. And that's directing choice. And then, like, another amazing choice I thought was the very opening shot of the movie.
Yeah, I was about to mention that, too. You bet. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Yep. They're in a Catholic – it's clearly Catholic, but what you see is a big painting of Jesus holding the Eucharist and I think the chalice, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it pans down from that, and you see you're in a gym, and there's a boxing match going on, and that's where we're introduced to Rocky. So that – is a really bold choice for an opening shot for a movie. And it speaks volumes to not only setting the tone for where are we and what is this neighborhood, but Rocky and boxing being his religion.
Mm-hmm.
How does boxing speak to him? And we see it later, and you mentioned this before, where he is done. He's won. After they take out the locker fees and whatever, the towel yeah. fees, he gets $40. And the only thing he asks is, when can I fight again?
Hmm.
Well, not for 2 weeks. Oh, okay. So that's somebody who's not doing it for financial gain or anything else. It's satisfying something inside of him.
Yeah. Not only that, but he was hurt at that point too, because his opponent headbutted him. And he was just like, you know, it almost knocked him right out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he, you know, he's not ready to fight again tomorrow or whatever. He needs 2 weeks to get ready.
But at least his nose wasn't broken.
But yeah, that was interesting too. My nose has never been broken. And the first thing Apollo Creed does is breaks his nose.
Oh, your nose is broken. And he goes, how does it look? He's in huge pain. He's sitting there. How does it look? Does it look okay?
And the trainer says, it looks better. Yeah, it looks better than before.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. Oh, God love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and I love that, you know, this, you know, so religion as a source of redemption, right? Or, mm-hmm. you know, and then that's what boxing is to Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, yeah, it's his journey. And that's what it's about, right? You know, because he, at some point, he just says, oh, I just want to go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Apollo Creed before.
Right.
And that's his goal. It wasn't to win. Yeah. It was to go the distance. And to him, that was the redemptive thing. And he was basically saying, if I can do that, I will prove that I'm not a bum.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, and because we see him through the beginning of the movie, you don't get a sense that he doesn't, that he feels bad about himself, really. But he's always been kind to people. He's not breaking the guy's thumb. He pulls that girl out of the street corner gang and tries to give her some fatherly advice, however clumsily done, that will be for her own good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that
was
great.
Nice to, yeah.
Yeah, and probably the scene that affected me the most that kind of showed that, this character that Rocky has was he had received the offer to fight, and he had accepted it. And then very shortly after that, his, I'm going to call him manager, but he didn't have a manager at the time, but this guy that had treated him badly, you know, basically saying you're never amount to anything, is what he was getting from this guy until today, when this guy shows up at his house and he says, you've never even been to my house before. And now it's like, you know, are you here for the money? What are you here for? And then, that
I could have used you 10 years ago.
Yeah, I could have used you 10 years ago. That's when I needed you. And, he's just venting, you know, as this guy walks out of the building and away, Rocky is just venting. He's yelling at the air, you know, just saying all this stuff that just had to come out. But then out he comes out the door, and I loved that, the way it was framed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out the door in silence, you know, and you don't even get to see what they say to each other, but it was like, I forgive you. It was like Rocky is like, I forgive everything, you know, and I need you, you know. And
wasn't that from above? That was that God's eye view.
Yeah. It was from far away. I don't know that it was above.
Far away,
but
a
yeah,
bit up, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, but, oh, it just, you know, that really affected me, you know, because he just, you know, I'm sorry for everything I just said, and it's gone, and I'm letting it go. And Rocky does that all the time. It's like, there was a scene where, you know, because people start to go a little bit crazy around him. It's like, you're about to be really famous, and, you know, we want a piece of that. You know, in fact, his friend, you know, we mentioned the sister that Rocky is dating. Her brother is just falling apart. It's... You know, he seems to want to be like Rocky from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And then when Rocky is now got the shot at to be famous and to be a huge fighter, he's like, how do I get a piece of this? You know, how do I get a piece of this? Because I hate my life. You know, and that was really tragic. Is I can't haul this meat around anymore. That was really tough. But... you know, he was vicious, too. You know, he broke up a room with a baseball bat. This is the brother. And
he
then
was
the next day,
sister.
Yeah. And then the next day he comes to, where Rocky is training, and Rocky is like, you know, you are forgiven.
Right.
You know, just like that. It's like, we're normal, you know?
Yeah.
You're all right. It's a good quality.
Yeah, he's loyal, and he understands people have these moments, and he'll let it go. As long, but he also, and he consistently, like I was saying, that girl in the corner, he lets his friend get the robe for him with the advertising on the back.
Yeah.
That makes him look dumb, but you know, he does it. That's fine. And people make fun of Adrian. Rocky sticks up for her.
Yeah.
Adrian, the sister, the girlfriend, who is agonizingly shy. Extremely plain, and she can look prettier, but they did not get a beautiful actress to play her.
Right.
And she is looking pretty bad at the beginning.
Mm.
But he sees something in her and he likes it, you know?
Yeah. I like his explanation of that, too. Do you remember that? When his brother her brother was saying something, you know, how are things going with my sister? And he said, she feels gaps. And he's like, I got gaps. She's got gaps. Together, we got no gaps.
Yeah, we fill the gaps.
I loved it. That was really good.
Yeah, that was, simply but eloquently said.
Yep.
Well, and I think one of the other things that's really good is that was such a realistic romance. These people are not glamorous. They're not making wonderful speeches. They're super awkward. And we get to see all of that. And we kind of see how they fill each other's gaps that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
And this is another example of egoism, but love making us the people we should be, is as time goes by, we see Adrian dressing with a little brighter colors. Then they're a little more stylish. Her hair's done better.
Yeah.
The glasses, she's wearing contacts now. And at one point when her brother's having this fit over things, she says, you know what? You made me feel like, what was it? I didn't matter. Like I was a loser. You made me feel like a loser. I ain't no loser.
That's right.
And she tells, and she even tells Rocky that her mother had said, well, you're never going to be anything in the looks department, so you better get smart. And he goes, oh, people always tell me how I'm dumb, so I have to be strong.
Mm.
You know, he goes, here we are together, a couple of, you know, a loser and a dummy or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
And which is how he comes to peace with things like that. You know, he kind of just glosses over it, but it bothers him just like it bothers her. And they become self-fulfilling prophecies until Rocky kind of breaks out of it. He's given that chance.
Yeah.
Because at one point the trainer, he's saying, why are you being so mean to me all the time? And the trainer's like, well, you had all this potential and you wouldn't stick with it, which is the bookend to later when Rocky's like, where were you 10 years ago? And the trainer's like, I was there. You wouldn't do it. And what are you now? Common leg breaker. Leg breaker. I don't know what I said. Anyway, he says, and he goes, well, it's a living. And he goes, it's a waste of life. And so what Rocky's making him feel like a bum is that waste of life.
Yeah.
He was made for more than that, but he doesn't know how to get it.
Yeah.
Which is all of it.
And that's something. Yeah. And then when Rocky is first given this opportunity, his first reaction is, no, I can't do that.
That's right.
No, I'm not going to do that. But that's neat. So now you have that double with Adrian coming out of her shell and Rocky coming out of his. Mm-hmm. It's like they make each other better.
Right.
That's the gap filling, right? But yeah.
Yeah. And the story is ostensibly about his fight. Of course it is. It's a sports movie. But it ends with him calling for Adrian and Adrian fighting her way through the crowd to him. Yeah, the culmination.
I think those are the final lines of the movie, right? Adrian says, I love you, and so does Rocky. Yeah.
Yeah. They say that to each other, and that's the end of the movie. And that's his journey to not be a bum, to be better, to have some kind of fulfillment. So it's just a life. It's living instead of a waste of a life.
Yeah.
Is the love he finds with Adrian. And I'm not discounting the fight. That's part of the journey.
It was part of the journey. Yeah. No, it's
and it's part of
wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you turn into Polly, the brother, the friend.
Right. Right.
Who's unfulfilled and unsatisfied in everything he's doing.
Yes. Permanently unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got the impression from him that there was nothing that could be done. You know, it's like, I think you're going to be happy no matter where you're at, you know. You know, and that's an interesting contrast too. But you're right. I never got the feeling that Rocky was incredibly unhappy. But he did feel unfulfilled for sure. But he, you know, he like made the most of everything. You know, just tried to have this positive attitude even before all the fight stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but while difficult crap was happening to him too, like when his locker got taken away, that just gutted him. You know, I've been here for 6 years and You know, that was my locker for 6 years, you know, but he gets, you know, into the apartment, you know, and he's got turtles, which I'm sure he bought because of Adrian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, you know, he knows that his place is horrible, but he doesn't really say that ever until that outburst when his trainer came over. And then he really, it just all came out of him. You know, I hate this place. I hate that. I hate this, you know, all that stuff. But it was just like poured out of him in that speech. And, but the rest of the time, he was really trying to be pretty positive.
Well, although it wasn't in a cheery, upbeat way, he was just, you kind of had a sense of melancholy in a way. But agreed. But as he encountered things, yes, he was always looking for the best, trying to do the right thing.
Coming up with jokes. Yeah. Horrible jokes to tell Adrian, but yeah.
Yeah, stopping to see Adrian all the time because he was interested in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good stuff. I just, you know, we'll say one more time, it just Rocky just continued to surprise me in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they could have just gone this other direction. So many ones that we've seen, you know, like, I don't know, the story where some other woman's trying to pull Rocky away from Adrian, you know, that storyline that we've seen 100 million times. I'm just so happy they didn't go these places, but it kept it really super simple.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ebert said, we just cared a lot. And I agree with that.
Yeah. And though, you know, it's funny because you say they keep it super simple and they absolutely do. But when you kind of cast your mind over the movie, it doesn't seem simple. It seems rich. But I think it's because everything in the movie looks really real.
Hmm.
The neighborhood's just run down enough. There are people all around all the time. Even his horrible little apartment seems very much like the way a guy like that would live, who doesn't care about housekeeping and, you know, doesn't know anything about it or want to do it.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, everything's very real seeming.
Hmm.
Maybe and it's how it's shot too.
In the training montages. I liked when you called it that. I'm just like, yeah. Did they have a name before this movie? Maybe they did.
They certainly did afterward. Well, yeah, and that because that in itself tells a story that we're used to it, you know, especially like his one-armed push-ups and everything. Mm. And but what you forget is at the beginning, he gets to the top of those steps and he's like crawling up practically, kind of holding his side because he's got a stitch in his side. You forget the victory is at the end is what we always see.
Mm-hmm.
There's the horrible egg scene.
Oh. Which I can't. Six eggs at 4:30 in the morning.
Ugh, and raw. I feel like it would be okay.
Why can't they just cook them up? What's better about the raw egg?
That was our question too.
Just go ahead. Yeah, scramble those babies.
Exactly. We felt a big scramble would be okay. Just takes another minute.
Yep, I don't get that. But
oh goodness.
Yeah. Too good. Too good.
Yep. Well, and so the thing that occurred to me watching this is you have on the one side somebody who's made it and what he cares about is the fame, not what he's doing to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Rocky who just wants to go the distance because for him, boxing is the sign he can accomplish something positive.
Yeah.
It's his talent. It's just one thing he can do. And I keep thinking as Christians, what we have to remember, it's very tempting to want recognition for stuff we're doing. And that's okay if we get it. That's absolutely normal. But, you know, most of our lives, we're not going to get recognition for the stuff we do. Our daily life, at work, whatever, we're just doing what we need to do and hopefully doing it well. What we should be trying for, and this is, I'm talking to myself here, is I want to go the distance.
Hmm.
I want to not quit when times get hard. I want to do the extra bit it takes to get the job done right so I can make it up those steps at the end.
Hmm.
You know, that's what we're being asked to do.
Right. The parable of the talents, right?
Yeah.
You got to You got to use them.
Yeah.
You got to use them. And one of the other things I was thinking about Apollo Creed is whenever you achieve something that is a goal, like this is a big goal, when you achieve that, sometimes it can be disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it became your being, or it became everything to you to get there. And then when you right. get there, at the very least, to maintain any kind of a level of the level of interest that you had, or the level of effort that you put right. in, to maintain that is really difficult. And that's kind of what Apollo Creed fell into. You'd think that this would remind you, you know, hey, you know, like you were saying, you know, reminded him maybe of how he got to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, we have that in life too. We have these goals, you know, we do this, we do that, you know, sometimes we can achieve them and everything, but really there's nothing bigger than God, right? And that's something, that's a goal that never is achieved, you know, and that's the journey. But life is this journey towards making yourself, you know, I can say the word perfect, knowing that we'll never get there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's the journey. That's the unachievable goal. And that's the only thing in life that can be forever satisfying.
Yeah, that's
right.
You never. That's what keeps us from being like Apollo Creed, where it, and it's so easy to have it happen.
Right, right. In little ways and big ways, you know.
Yeah.
When you achieve something big, you know, it's, you know, we see that in our daily lives, you know, on the news and things, you know, where people have achieved amazing things. And then, you know, it's always like, well, what's next? That's what people always ask of you, right?
Right.
You know, and that's the pressure that Apollo Creed was under.
Well, and it turns you into somebody that you weren't originally. Isn't that what the second Rocky movie is about? Is
well, the how second Rocky movie, and I haven't seen it for years, but as I remember, it starts right after the fight.
Oh, okay.
And they're in the hospital and stuff, you know, because, you wow. know, I remember them arguing in the hospital. But it's directly after the fight, and Apollo Creed is pressured by the world, basically. You know, you're a bum if you don't give him another shot.
Or to have a rematch.
And Rocky, you're a bum if you don't take it, you know. So, and then Rocky, of course, is overwhelmed by the attention.
Right.
I remember him doing a commercial. You know, so he had that $150,000, plus he had all these endorsement deals that everybody came out of the woodwork and offered him.
Mm-hmm.
But he, if I remember right, he was trying to stay out of the limelight and stuff, and then is basically dragged right into air, you know, but this time for big money.
Right. Okay.
To fight Apollo Creed again.
The struggle with how to balance all this.
How to deal with this brand new thing. And Apollo's journey is, you know, am I going to let greed push me into this again, you know, and of course he does. And he's the whole time afraid, you know. Apollo Creed at that point was, I don't want to fight this guy again. Are you kidding me? You know?
Okay.
So, but that is memory. So I yeah, hope that yeah. I'm right. If I'm not, please send
well,
us a note or whatever.
Well, it's interesting that it goes on and explores yeah. that next step in the journey, but it also explains to me why when it came out and I went to see it, I was like, no, that's not the story I wanted to see.
Yeah, it's
this is how, a story.
You know,
how
can it possibly be the same, right?
Well, yeah, and part of the problem with sequels is if you're going to do something interesting with a sequel, you keep it moving along.
Yeah.
But what I saw was the first movie.
Right.
I don't want it. Don't he and Adrian start having trouble? I don't want that.
Yeah, yeah, you know? But I don't recall much detail on that, but I know that they get married and things, so,
okay.
You know, they are together, well, and I don't think they divorce or anything, if I remember right, but I think that I've seen all the Rocky movies other than the
really?
Recent ones, yeah,
wow.
1, 2, 3, 4 for sure, because number 3 was when he fought Mr. T, you know, it was getting, see, to me, Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, I remember liking Rocky 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to get ridiculous. So in Rocky mm-hmm. 3, now it's all gimmicky. Now you're fighting Mr. T. And in
right.
Rocky 4, he was fighting a Russian guy. So it was like the Olympics, and he's fighting the Dolph Lundgren, okay. you know. And then Rocky 5, I have no idea what Rocky 5 was.
was
no
so
idea. That might have been that Tommy guy.
You would not
Tommy,
even go see it.
It was
I
like
get.
A, you know, I think I do remember that. I think it was a young guy I can't remember if he was going to fight Rocky or if at that Rocky. Time he was like a manager or some type, like a mentor. And then, I don't know that it was very well received. And then I know Creed, the movie they just did, Creed, was very well received. Mm-hmm. And Sylvester Stallone wrote that one too. I don't know if he directed it, but he wrote and directed Rocky II.
Oh, okay.
So he is a director for Rocky II.
Right. I'm still not going to watch it again. I believe you that it's great.
No, I'm not going to say it's great. I just remember it, and I remember it pretty well, and it's a different story. But Rocky's the one.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
So do any other sports movies leap to your mind as something wonderful?
You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking my favorite sports movie is actually not... It's a sports movie for people who don't like sports movies, which is Moneyball.
Oh, yeah. I do like that movie quite a bit.
That's on my list. Someday we'll do it.
Oh, great. Aaron Sorkin.
Love it.
Yeah,
that is a good movie. But it's not about... sports like this.
Right.
This is about sports. Do you have one?
This one, you know, but, you know, all the other ones, you know, they're pretty good. You know, I have just a few that leap to mind, but the number one that leaps to mind is Sandlot. Have you ever seen Sandlot? I love that movie. I've probably seen it 10 times.
Maybe when it came out.
Oh, I just love it. That's a good movie.
Sorry.
Not a fan of it, or
well, I just don't. I know the name. I might have seen it when it came out, but yeah. I don't.
Well, what it's about kids, a group of kids who play baseball in a lot.
Yeah,
and it's about realizing your potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you can pick it, and we'll watch it.
Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention too, just because I'm interested. And maybe, hopefully somebody is, the Oscars of 1977.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting stuff to me. So I'm just going down here. Best Picture. So Rocky won Best Picture against All the President's Men.
Oh.
Bound for Glory, which I don't know what that one is. Network.
Oh, yeah.
And Taxi Driver.
That was a year for movies.
Yeah. And then, so it won against some pretty good competition there. And then the actor, best actor, went to Peter Finch for Network.
That was one of those theater roles that everybody loves.
Supporting actor, yeah. Supporting actor, Jason Robards in All the President's Men.
Okay.
Best actress, Faye Dunaway for Network.
Yeah.
Don't remember Network.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's another one I saw in the theaters when it came out. For one thing, I was in the J school, so journalism school. You had to see it, and everybody was seeing it. And it blew me away. And then I rewatched it a few years ago and was like, yeah, I get it. But for me, it was a lot of overblown, long speeches because it was from a play.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so for me, it didn't work on reviewing, although I was castigated by everybody for saying that. So
gotcha.
Feel free to castigate.
And then supporting actress was also from Network, Beatrice Straight. So three of the five actor categories went to Network.
That was a big movie.
Yeah. And it looks like that was also the year that Logan's Run came out. Because Logan's Run, I saw that on this list. Like, and The Omen won for best score. And The Outlaw Josie Wales was on original score. So, man, yeah, these movies that came out that year.
Yeah. Well, they picked Star
Is Born is on the list for score. Yeah. The Pink Panther Strikes Again. The Pink Panther Strikes Again. Have you seen that?
Yes, I believe I saw a lot of these. I can't believe how many movies I must have gone to that year.
Yeah.
That was in the halcyon days before cable was worth something, except maybe just rich people had it.
King Kong also got nominated for Best Sound. So that was the...
Oh, Jessica
Lange. Wow, that felt like it would have been too early, but I thought it was like 1979 or something, but it says King Kong.
Yeah, that would have been it.
How did it not win Best Picture?
Oh, my God.
I'm just joking. And King Kong won the Special Achievement Award for Best Special Visual Effects. And Logan's Run was the only other nominee in that Special Achievement Award.
Well, and honestly, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I went to see it, but really. Uh-huh. Talk about simple.
Yeah. What was special effects in 1977?
Yeah, that's well. And what's funny is I worked at the Dallas Market Center for several years, and that movie, Logan's Run, was shot at the Dallas Apparel Mart, which was owned by the Dallas Market Center. And, you know, this is a place where at that time, you know, there was no internet and anything else. And so they'd have these markets around the country where retailers could come and see all the wares from the manufacturers.
Oh, wow.
And they'd have these showrooms that they'd be in all year round and then temporary ones. But the inside of the Dallas Apparel Mart is the complex that Logan is in because it was so futuristic at the time. Wow. That they shot it there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So nice. I'd go in every time and go, oh, yeah, Logan's Run.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah,
just I remember Logan's Run pretty well. And it was a TV series, too, I think. Because
was it?
I think so. I think so. Yeah. 1970s science fiction movies. Wow. Yeah. And this Star Wars came out that year, too, right? It would have come out. Maybe they were on the 1978 Oscars, because surely it won Best Visual Effects. I'm guessing. It's just going to be around the same time. So, yeah, there it is. I clicked on 1978, and Star Wars and Close Encounters are both on there.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, so.
Wow, and I hated Close Encounters so much.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and liked Star Wars so much. I guess that says a lot about my movie taste. You can really just go from there.
You bet. You bet.
Molding with mashed potatoes. Having shootouts with a big Wookiee at your side.
That's right.
A good blaster at your side.
That's right.
Speaking of which, I saw the new Blade Runner movie.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Good, me too.
It was a bit slow in some places. There were some places where I was kind of kicked out of the movie going, oh my gosh, okay, I get it. And all three of us felt that way, but still, I really liked it.
That's good. Yeah, I enjoyed it too, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thought it was good. Cool.
Yeah. So.
Well, all right. Yeah. So, what's coming up next?
More science fiction.
Yes. Oh, hooray! Yeah, Leviathan Wakes by James S. A. Corey, who's actually two people, right?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. And I started it yesterday, so.
Oh, did you?
I feel like I'm ahead of the game.
You go, because it's kind of a long book.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful. All right. Okay. Well, anything else you'd like to say to our multitudes of listeners?
No.
You're all different.
You all can go the distance.
That's right. That's right. Realize your potential. I love
it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
We'll be back. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.